Very good. Thank you. All right, we'll move to item number two, the acceptance of Tuesday, April 6, 2021 meeting notes. It's hard to believe it's been almost a year, but is there a motion to accept those minutes?
So move, Chris Edge.
Okay, thank you. Chris, is there a second? All right, I'll second that. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we've verbally have done the introductions. While we're on item number three, I'd like to ask anyone who I've introduced if they have any comments for us. Would anyone like to make any comments? All right, we'll move to item number four. I see we have the Connecticut Department of Transportation Commissioner on the agenda and Commissioner Joseph Giuletti. I'm not sure if the commissioner is here. Commissioner, are you here?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Mike, it's Chris Edge. I just wanted to mention one thing, and I apologize for three. I just wanted to thank Lyle and the CROG for their effort on behalf of lobbying for something that isn't even in Connecticut, which is the Springfield to Boston rail line.
Yes.
And the fact that I think we all realize how important it is to connect our CT rail all the way up to Boston. So I just wanted to thank them for their effort and energy, hoping with the infrastructure monies in Washington that maybe we can make some progress. Just wanted to thank them because even though it's not in our geography, it is a vital piece to making the investments in Connecticut even more viable with that connection to Boston. So I just wanted to say thank you very much to Lyle and Tim and the CROG team.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you. So we can come back to item number five if Commissioner Giuletti joins us. I will come back to item number four. We can jump to item number five. And historically, for those that are listening in for the first time, this Corridor Advisory Committee has had co-chairs. And I've been one of the co-chairs for many years. Down through the years, we've had the mayor of Enfield. Most recently, Chris, first selectman of Windsor Locks, was our co-chair. So we'd like to have a discussion on a new co-chair appointment. And Lyle or Tim, do you have any comments on this? Do you
have Mr. Chair. Yeah, we've lost Chris Kerbick to CROG and to this group. So we're suggesting that anyone interested in the position make themselves known to us either by email or other ways at CROG, and we can put that together for the next meeting. We're hoping that you would continue, Selectman.
Yes.
And we could select a second co-chair for the group. So anyone who has an interest in this, we can certainly brief you on this and bring you up to speed. So that would be the item, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
This is Chris Edge. I am not town manager and or mayor of Berlin, but I would be happy to throw my hat in the ring if in my position that could be a fit as economic development director. But I kind of throw that out there if there is not somebody else, because I'd be happy to do so as a co-chair.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And Lyle and Tim, Chris makes a good point, not being a town manager or mayor. And historically, we've had chief elected officials. Was that part of the bylaws, or can we entertain someone who's not a chief elected official?
It's informal, but I think we could entertain someone who wants to bring the energy and work forward. So I don't think it's a strong point. We do have a preference for elected officials, but you know, Chris's offer is very nice. But if we, I think if we need to go in the direction of a non-elected official, you know, Chris would be great.
Okay. And just so everyone knows who's listening in, and Chris has been part of the meetings for many years, he does bring a great deal of energy to the group. He's doing a great job in economic development in Berlin. And as I referenced earlier, the role of a co-chair is made much more easy by the efforts of Lyle and his staff. So the role of the co-chair has just been us conducting the meeting, going through the agenda. Lyle and his staff compile the agenda. So it's not a lot of heavy duty lifting other than to be available when we have the meetings. So I'll leave it in Lyle and Tim's capable hands to come up with the recommendations, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I encourage anyone here to pass it along to your home communities to bring forth it, again, a chief elected official if possible, otherwise, as Chris has volunteered, but please give us some options. Thank you.
All right. We'll go to item number six. Do we have an update on CT Fast Track from any Conduct staff?
Hello, this is Lisa. Just thought I'd update you, you know, with the whole COVID situation, you know, we definitely saw decreases in ridership, as did all public transportation services. But our most recent figures, CT Fast Track is back to about 70% of where it was before COVID in terms of ridership. What we have noticed is missing, you know, our parking lots aren't full like they used to be. And so what it's more of the folks that are coming from outer areas, parking in the parking lot and commuting into Hartford. With the return to the office of travelers March 14th, we expect we'll see, you know, increases in ridership and increased usage of those parking lots again. On the maintenance and or improvements side, we're going to be making a series of improvements along the guideway in the coming year to upgrade the intelligent transportation system and add additional fiber. Connect that fiber directly back to our DOT headquarters. We'll be able to monitor activity at the intersection. And that's going to be helpful for our future. On a side note, you're also going to see a project along the Berlin Turnpike where we, DOT headquarters here, will be able to control the traffic signal progression along the Berlin Turnpike using similar technology, and that will help offset traffic congestion on I-91. When 91 has an accident and everybody comes over to the Berlin Turnpike and makes me very annoyed because they're using my road to commute.
Your personal road?
That's my road. Get off of my road. Get back on 91. And so, it's just we're making upgrades, or we're making technology changes, and to be able to adjust the signal progression along the turnpike will help with the traffic flow when those incidents occur. That's a side note. We're also going to be milling and paving the entire length of the guideway and repainting all of the striping in the coming year. So we're continuing to progress and maintain the facility.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chair? Sorry.
Yes, Lyle, go right ahead.
Is there any update, Lisa, on progress on the autonomous vehicle bus demonstration? On the busway?
Automated bus project. I don't know whether this group has ever even heard about the automated bus project. So DOT in August of 2019 partnered with New Flyer, Robotic Research, CTE, and UConn on a special grant program that FTA had put out there for kind of development of technology. So we proposed to operate a automated bus on the CT Fast Track Guideway. For those of you that don't know, it's not fully autonomous. It is automated. So it's considered a level 4 automated bus, which means it can operate and do a full range of activities within a certain operating design domain. So along the guideway, it will be able to navigate the intersections because it will be communicating with traffic control, so it knows whether the light is green or red. We would also be putting in some radar at some troublesome crossings to provide advanced knowledge to the vehicle if it looks like somebody is not going to be stopping at that red light, so the vehicle can come to a slow, steady stop rather than a hard braking or a collision, as does sometimes happen along Fast Track when people run those lights. We also would be looking, the bus would be able to pull up to the platform itself, raise the vehicle to the proper height, and hopefully do it more accurately and consistently than our drivers. Because, you know, drivers, it's, the docking procedure at the platforms is difficult because they're trying to not damage the bus, but they're also, you know, supposed to be getting as close to the platform as possible so that we minimize the gap at the front door so that we have the accessible pathway that's required under ADA. So the precision docking, the connected vehicle technology at the intersections, and we'd also be looking at platooning. So having the possibility of, you know, the lead bus maybe being driven by a driver, but then having two buses that could follow behind, obviously with a safety driver in the seat, but those buses could be following the lead of the first bus. And that would be something that would be helpful for us during times of, you know, potentially, let's say there's a, you know, St. Patrick's Day parade in Hartford, and we want to add additional capacity on fast track. So we could do that, you know, just by just having additional vehicles platooning behind the first vehicle. Long term, you know, we look at this as maybe we could have a series of smaller buses that could be platooned together. So instead of having to put a 60-foot bus out on a route like on, you know, our Farmington Avenue route, which has very heavy ridership. So we have to put a 60-foot bus out there in order to meet the demand during the peak period. But later on in the day, we might not need a 60-foot bus, but it doesn't make sense for us to return that 60-foot bus to the garage. So if we looked at platooning, and let's say we had smaller vehicles that were platooned together, and then middle of the day when ridership is lower, those vehicles, they return to the garage on their own, or they can park somewhere and you know, get linked back up again in the PM peak to provide the level of ridership capacity that we need. So the project, we should be getting a vehicle here. The vehicles, actually, all three of them are going to be leaving the New Flyer facility in the Crookston and going to their new product development facility, where they're going to get fitted with a lot of the technology pieces. So they'll be using LiDAR, radar, cameras, sensors, all of these things to navigate the environment of CT Fast Track. So those things will be getting installed. So we should see a bus here in October of this year. It'll just be an initial bus that we're probably going to use to do some base mapping to test out all the different technology pieces that we are installing along the guideway, making sure that it can communicate with the bus. And then the actual launch of operations in revenue service would come in the spring of 2023. So that would be, and that is actually required as part of our grant program with FTA, is that the vehicles have to be operated in revenue service. So they'll be available for passengers to get on and ride.
All right, so much, Mr. Chair. I don't know if you see that, but there's two questions in the chat. I can repeat them, or do you see them?
I was just going to get to that, Lau, because
yes,
I see Nat Gale had a question, and then Renata. So Lisa, there's a question for you from Renata, but Nat posted first. So Nat, I'll turn it over to you. You had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this is Nat Gale. I'm the Director of Capital Projects and Operations here at the City of Hartford, sitting in for on behalf of Mayor Bronin. My question for Lisa, you mentioned you're doing a fiber project. You're doing an interconnect for your signals. And here at the City of Hartford, we're doing some similar work. And, you know, we're trying to adopt a quasi dig once strategy where, when we open up the street, we allow all of our different cities who need access to that fiber to connect into it. And I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for CTDOT to do something similar that you know, we at the city can, once you're opening up the street for the fiber connection for your signals, can we tap into that as well to give, you know, for our both our traffic cameras and our police cameras would be helpful to have connection to that fiber.
Mm-hmm. I think that we should definitely have get a conversation between you and our highway operations folks about the feasibility of that and you know, how if and when they can do that. So can you send me an email and I'll get it to the right people here?
Sure,
well done. So I'm lisa.river@ct.gov.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Renata, you had a question for Lisa.
Yes, good morning. This is Renata Vertati, town planner for Town of Newington. Lisa, what is the anticipated scheduling for the Berlin Turnpike signal improvement work?
And do you have it? It is not my project. I am just talking about it in terms of we're using something. We're trying to use the same technology that they're going to be using along the turnpike. I can tell you, I commute along the turnpike, you know, back and forth to work. So I've been seeing the new signal poles going in, the new communications equipment, but I don't have information on it. But again, I can respond to the group after I talk with the folks that manage the project.
Great.
That would be great. And along the lines what was said just from the Hartford, it would be great to have some collaboration on that as well, on our end as well. I would imagine Berlin, Newington, you know, as well as Hartford all could, you know, use some regional collaboration on that work with the DOT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
I saw the email there, Mr. Chair, on Pam Sakata said she's going to provide an update on the signal project to me, and I'll get it out to everybody here.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam.
Very good. Seeing no other questions in the chat box, item number 7, update on Connecticut Rail. Is that you, Lisa, also?
That would be
this
Yuri.
Is me. Yes, okay. I am here. So good morning, everyone. So my name is Yuri Kulgis. So I'm the new Assistant Rail Administrator for the Office of Rail. I know you're familiar with John Burnick, but he retired, so I took his place. Let me just see. Tim, so I can share my screen, right? So let me see.
You should be able to. I made you co-host, so you should be able to share your screen.
Excellent. Thank you. So I wanted to share a couple of slides and give you the latest update on the Hartford line. So please let me know when you can actually see my screen.
Yep, works. We got to see it.
Perfect. Excellent. All right, so let me go through a couple of slides. Maybe some of this information, many of you already know about it. My apologies, but I wanted to first start a little bit with the background. I know we heard a little bit about, you know, the connection between Springfield and Boston, which you could actually see in this map, but the Hartford line is connecting the New Haven and the Springfield line. And the goal is to connect all the way to Montreal. Many of you are familiar, you know, with how the project started, you know, but in 2018 is when the actual Hartford line start operating. But I'm gonna go now in detail about the projects and the latest update. And also I wanted to provide a little information on the ridership too. Our assistant rail administrator couldn't be here. He's in Washington DC with the commissioner, but I will provide a ridership update, you know, to everyone. So this is a good map that shows the 62 miles stretch, you know, of the Hartford line, different colors. And I'm gonna explain a little bit about, you know, each color represents. So you can see phase 1, 2, and 3A are complete. So phase 1 is the brown section, you know, of the line. This, you know, all the work has been complete, you know, and when I say all the work, you know, we talk about that double track, you know, 27 miles of double track have been complete. So that includes phase 1, which is in brown, phase 2, which are the two sections in green that you see between New Haven and Meriden, and then the small stretch that you could actually see too between Newington and West Hartford. And then you also have phase 3A, which is in light purple, that has been completed. And now we're working on the phases, phase 3B, which you could see the three different sections in yellow that are under design. And I'll go a little more into the details of that. But this is a good map that shows, you know, what has been completed and, you know, what we're currently working on. The next slides give a little more information about, you know, each of the different subsections. So signals, you know, all of that, you know, we're in the final mile of the New Haven plow north of the Connecticut River. There is a lot of advancements on the track work. The big package that we're starting right now is what we call the phase 3B, which has these three different contracts, these three different packages where we'll be designing right now a double track. I'm gonna go back for a second to the map so you could actually see the three sections that I'm talking about, you know, the ones in yellow. So you had the 1, 2, and 3 sections that I'm talking right now that the design is starting now, 3B. And we also, the names of those three packages are the West Hartford, Windsor Locks Canal, and Enfield Bypass. So that's ongoing. And a quick update on the stations. You know, you could see that there's a lot of progress too, where Windsor Station, it's almost complete. Two of our big projects currently have been advertised and are bidding, the Windsor Locks, which is the new high-level platform. And we're also replacing the platform roof at Union Station. This is at the rail platform. So both projects are bid, and we're moving forward with some of the designs. As you can see, the Enfield Station, North Haven is moving in the design, and West Hartford will start soon, you know, and we'll return that, you know, to the actual design. This map, you know, I wanted to show this map, and this is what we show also the rail commuter console. So it's a little bit, it's a lot of information here, but I wanted to point a couple of things, you know, where I'm pointing my mouse right now. This is the New Haven section. And as you move forward the tracks, you know, you're going to move all the way to Springfield. But the way I wanted to point this out, because we will be able to see two red lines, which means these are double tracks, two tracks, you know, along the Hartford line. And the sections that we have been talking about, you know, the 3B, which you can see in green, this is when we're adding the second track in these sections. And you're going to see three areas that have greens, which are the 3B sections. And this is will be, again, you know, we'll be adding the double track, you know, which is, and we can, I can always send all this information to everyone too, you know, and all the details. We have a larger scale of this map.
Please do. Please send it along. Yeah.
Sure, definitely. And I can also send a copy of this presentation.
Great.
And this is information about the ridership. You know, let me explain a little bit. And I think the next slide is going to, it's clearer because it's an actual graph. But you could see from here, you know, and my apologies because you are familiar with a lot of this information, but in 2019, you know, pre-COVID, you can see the ridership numbers, you know, on a monthly basis, where the numbers were increasing all the way to January of 2020, where we had about over 73,000 commuters, you know, riding the line. And then as soon as COVID hits in April, the lowest ridership was 4,362. And the number has been increasing, you know, which again, you know, it's a lot of information here, but I think this slide, I think is better because you could actually see the ridership on the month and what happened when COVID hits. You can see the small or slow increase in 2020, 2021, you know, the numbers on the ridership, you know, is steadily increasing. You know, we did see a ridership reduction in January. And I'll go back to the other slide where you could actually see that the ridership right now is 24,000 and the ridership in December because of the holidays was 39,000. So this is a good graph that represents ridership. You know, the information was provided by our Office of Rail Operations. But I think that's all in a nutshell, you know, just very brief update, you know, good information. But I don't know if anyone has any questions or comments for me or for the department.
Yuri, this is Mike here. I want to tell you, that was a fantastic executive summary. Very, very nicely done. And we welcome you to this advisory committee. You know, John Burnick was a great asset to us down through the years, and we worked very closely with him. So I thank you for presenting what you presented, and we look forward to having you continue with us here with these kind of updates. Thank you. So I just had one question. Those stations, and you saw North Haven there, and that's something that John and I worked on for years here. When we're in a design, what's the process once the design is completed? Is it waiting for funding? Is that what happens?
Well, I can talk, maybe Pam can talk a little bit about the funding, you know, but what we do, you know, it's once we complete that design, you know, what we call 100% design. Typically, these are projects that are a design, bid, build. So we have a processing phase. We have a 7-month processing phase where we go, you know, from a final to advertising, you know, bid opening, you know, award. So that will be a 7-month before we have a notice to proceed, a construction notice to proceed. And that's when we actually have boots on the ground and when we have a contractor and the project starts. So I'm not, you know, maybe Pam, I don't know if you can help me a little bit about the actual funding, but we are moving forward with the design, at least, you know, of Enfield and North Haven. So that's moving along, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question? Yuri, yes. Is there any chance that I could get your contact information I would like to connect offline. I do have some questions about how the phasing was decided on. In particular, like, I'm interested as to how did West Hartford got into a design stage versus Newington into phase four. I know that people in Newington will have interest in understanding, like, how did that selection work out?
Sure, definitely, and I can provide my information.
This entire group doesn't have to like sit to that conversation, so that could be cool to do like just separately.
Sounds good, yeah, and definitely we have also Pam Socato, so definitely we can connect. So I'll provide my information, and that's good. So we'll do that.
Are there any other questions for Yuri?
I had one quick question, if I may.
Yes.
It says that West Hartford is returning to design. Can you just explain a little bit more about what that means? Does that mean it's in design or that it's going to be in design?
That is correct, because we have different, you know, as when we were planning the actual Hartford line, there were some other stations and some have been put on hold for different reasons, but the actual West Hartford is now starting again, you know, to design. And, you know, we do a lot of coordination with the towns, you know, with all the stakeholders. And that's what it means, Tim, right now, you know, that was in the process.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Seeing no questions in the chat, I'll ask one more time. Any other questions for Yuri? All right.
Mike, this is Patrick McMahon. I do have a question, and this may have been covered rightly. Double tracking from Windsor Locks to the state border. What's the status of that?
That's part of the 3B. So any areas that do not have a double tracking, you know, we're working on the design right now. So that's in the works right now, you know, as far as, you know, the actual design. And I think the map, once we send the map, you know, it's gonna identify the different areas and it will be clearer. You know, my apologies, it's hard to put a big map, you know, so, but I think, you know, once we send it, you could actually see the details.
So do you think the double tracking is a year out, 2 years out, 3 years out? Any sense of that?
We have right now three packages to complete 3B. So the design has just started. So right now, based on the schedule, you know, we have almost a year and a half of design, talking about the actual process in the 7 months. So right now we're talking about 2 years from today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're at item number 8, the Hartford to Boston rail update.
Mr. Chair, I can handle this. I'm not sure everybody here caught the briefing at the last meeting. And I want to thank Tim for honchoing our process for the Hartford-Springfield-Boston rail economic study. We, with the Pioneer Valley, we retained AECOM to do an economic benefit analysis from Hartford-Springfield-Boston. The upshot, it would cost $6 to $8 billion and produce $60 to $80 billion of economic benefit along the corridor. And we have PowerPoints and detailed reports if you'd like. So that was an update from the last meeting here. We'd be delighted to get that information out to you, but it's one of the biggest economic impacts in the region. And this would extend all the way from New Haven basically to Boston. We'd look at the Hartford-Springfield-Boston line, but you know, Chris made the comment, well, it doesn't affect us. Well, it does, because you can go from Merlin to Boston on this process. So it's almost a 10-to-1 payback for this. Now, what's happened since then are two major things. First of all, the freight rail line from Springfield to Worcester is CSX, and they have basically a working agreement with Amtrak to allow for a passenger expansion on that line, which is a huge issue. Amtrak has a right of service, but there's a new agreement, I think, that will make it a lot easier for passenger rail to be expanded on the Springfield to Worcester line, which is the bottleneck for us to get to Boston. Just like you have bottlenecks on freeways, well, that's our bottleneck from New Haven to Boston is the Springfield to Worcester link. The second piece is 10 days ago, Governor Baker in Massachusetts and Congressman Neal basically agreed to step up the Springfield to Worcester so-called Boston Springfield rail process. And so Congressman Neal has been very, very aggressive on advocating to get that inland rail route underway. And so two things have happened. One is opening up the freight rail line to additional passenger traffic, which is huge. And the second one is the governor of Massachusetts has decided to push for federal money to sort of get the Springfield-Worcester process underway. So that those are both huge aspects for that. And I think those are the major developments that happened that are forward. And obviously we'll have to sort through the various sources of new federal money to see what's available so that we can get those done. So the Connecticut part is to make sure that the Hartford rail improvements are in the state five-year capital plan. There's gonna be 2 5-year capital plans, one without the new federal money and one with the new federal money. But it's extremely important that the Hartford Springfield piece be ready when the Springfield Boston piece is underway. But those are the things, just as a recap, we have the economic benefit study. We did a major ridership update that showed the ridership numbers are much better than initially projected, which is very positive. And we got those two pieces of good news from Governor Baker and Congressman Neal and on CSX and Amtrak. So I'd be happy to answer questions. Again, we have, this was the presentation of the last meeting, but for those of you who missed it, we do have the PowerPoints that we can share with you happily, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Lyle. Any questions for Lyle? All right, hearing none, seeing none in the chat box. Thank you again for that overview, Lyle.
Thank you, sir.
And we're at item number 9. Yuri took us through where we are on some of the rail stations throughout the corridor. As all of you know, that these transit-oriented districts revolve around these train stations. So item number 9, any updates regarding TOD?
I'd like to ask Tim to sort of talk about a study we're doing in our region. Obviously, other regions are doing other things as well. We're doing a TOD study. But the impression I get is that if you look up and down the 91 corridor as well as the fast track corridor, there is some increased momentum on TOD. Just in the city of West Hartford alone, there's a lot going on. So Tim, if you want to talk about our TOD study, then maybe perhaps we can invite other members on the call to provide, you know, updates on their TOD projects.
Sure. Yeah. So CROG initiated a study to look at TOD opportunities throughout the Hartford line in our region, as well as the CT Fast Track Corridor. So we are taking a look at one site in each of the towns that host the station. So that's 8 towns total for us. And we're gonna get into the nitty-gritty details of the financial feasibility of developing those sites. So we have retained the services of WSP to do the analysis for us. And so they're taking a look at the general market conditions, the specific market conditions in the town, and then really looking at doing sort of test fits on each individual site of, you know, what's allowed under zoning, what the market would bear, what sort of product could be actually developed there, and determining if that's financially feasible. And then if it is not, you know, currently financially feasible, just given the market conditions, you know, what sort of tools might we be able to bring to that project? You know, if it's other entitlements or incentives or other funding sources that we might be able to bring to that project to make it feasible. And then the eventual goal is to have a go-to-market strategy for each of these sites to help the towns sort of jumpstart those sites getting developed. And so we're in the middle of that process now. We have been meeting with each of the towns to select the sites and to get some information on market conditions, so to get information on the pipeline of projects in each of the towns so we can figure out the all the very technical things that they talk about in the with the market people about market absorption and all this stuff that I don't fully understand, but I'm told it all matters, then we'll be moving into the actual analysis of those sites, and we hope to have this study done by this summer.
Thank you.
Yeah, and again, Mr. Chair, we'd be interested, we'd be happy to share the results of the study, but some other regions might want to use as a template too. So that's the update from us. And we certainly, Mr. Chair, want to entertain any other TOD updates that folks want to share.
Right. So would we have any other updates from any of the
I can share what's happening here in Newington. Within just this last year, we have approved 346 units in my Cedar Street TOD district. Great. In addition to like a whole lot of commercial development as well. I don't know offhand how many square feet of commercial floor area we have going on in that section, but that is an area of intended, I believe, area for where the Hartford Line train station would be if it happens in Newington. So there is permitted 346 units that are slated for like start of construction this spring. In addition to that, through the CROG program, we're looking at a different area in town for the second TOD district by Newington Junction, which may generate some additional, probably not as large TOD district, but it might generate, substantial amount of, substantial amount of units as well. So that's what's happening here. So it's quite a bit. And
yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't believe anybody is here from New Britain. Is that correct? New Britain has had a tremendous acceleration, just as Renata was mentioning too. And perhaps at a future meeting, we want to have New Britain speak to their issue. But basically, the downtown area, they've done streetscape improvements, and we have hundreds of units of housing in the immediate area of the fast track station. So, and there's also a fuel cell center that's been green lighted again, several blocks from there. So there's a lot of development going on in New Britain, Newington, West Hartford, and Hartford itself that are showing a lot of signs of life on TOD. Despite the last 2 years of the COVID situation, things are still moving ahead.
Anyone else have any updates? Patrick, I see your hand up.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I just want to give an update on Windsor's activities. We have four different sites that we are actively working on in our town center. We've got a developer looking to build 100 housing units and approximately 6,000 square feet of first floor retail on the site of a kind of tired strip mall within 500 feet of the Windsor station. We did, on behalf of the developer, put forward an application to the state, DECD, for the Connecticut Communities Challenges Grant. So we're anxiously awaiting the results of that program. We have two other privately owned properties working with the developer right now in conceptual planning. Could bring another 70 units of housing within a half mile of the station. And then finally, we're working with under CROG study. The town owns a parking lot right along the rail. And so that will be the subject of CROG study, and we'll see if we can start the process of getting conceptual planning underway. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Are there any other updates? All right, very good. We're at item number 10, federal infrastructure update. Lyle, would that be you?
Sure, this is basically just a flag, and most of you probably are well aware of this, but in the next 5 years, there's gonna be a major infusion of federal money. The money is not yet available in some cases, needs to be appropriated, if I get my terminology right, and some of the grants will be competitive. But just wanted to highlight that for corridor we're talking about, there may be additional federal money to accelerate development. And we wanted to put that on the table. I think Pam has left us here, but there's gonna be a major challenge for COGS, towns, and the state to absorb this money and get it out the door. I don't know if Rob Eloise or Kara Redsons wanted to add to this, but it's kind of exciting. There's an awful lot of potential resources available. and we were talking before we started with First Selectman Frieda, this is going to require a lot of work on the part of the state, region, and towns to identify opportunities, apply for grants, and keep the projects moving. So I don't know, Rob, did you want to add anything to the federal update? Nope.
Tara? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Rob.
There's recently another continuing resolution, so we're still waiting on the funds, you know, and trying to figure things out. But there is a lot of money available, and we have a legislative agenda that tries to push on the on making sure that this Hartford line goes forward and gets back in the capital plan. And it looks like they're going in that direction from what I see from the fellow who updated us on the design. So that's good news, and hopefully our legislative agenda will help in securing all the federal funding in the outlying years of the five-year capital plan, so we can get this done.
That's it, Mr. Chair, unless people have questions. We'll keep you informed.
Okay. There was a comment in the chat earlier, I think is very important for this discussion, and that was that the Council of Governments will play a huge role, I think, in this particular category. And as I'm sure has happened even in our CROG here, we had Commissioner Boughton address us in our South Central Regional Council of Governments, and he talked also about the importance of the Council of Governments.
Yep.
So I think we're going to play a key role here, Lyle.
Yeah, the Council of Governments will have a major role. We too also had a conversation with Commissioner Boughton on this. So some of this is still the TBA. We don't know. As Rob said, the funding needs to be released, but there's really sort of a five-year ramp here of additional funding that we all need to be ready to respond to. So that's exciting.
All right, any other questions? Patrick, I see your hand up again.
Thanks, Mike. I know this has been discussed at previous meetings. I just want to keep it sort of in front of people's minds. It's quiet zones. With the rail line becoming more active, we have residents in some of the communities that are concerned, obviously, because of the noise relative to at-grade crossings and the amount of horns that need to go off in advance of those crossings. I know that Windsor's done its own study for the costs of putting in the technology. And it's steep and would require likely state or federal funding. I'm sure other communities are in the same boat. I think it'd be best if this were addressed at either regional or statewide level.
If I may just add, Meriden has done something as well when I worked there, either through, I'm trying to remember, it was done either through a private consultant or the city itself, but we have done something too that could be usable in the comprehensive sort of like compilation of documents and study.
Great. Yeah, that's an important quality of life issue.
All right, any other questions? In looking at the participants, I do not see Representative Haskell here.
I guess not, Mr. Chair. We'll try and secure Representative Haskell as a transportation co-chair at the General Assembly for a future meeting, but I don't see him today.
All right. So we're at the point in the agenda where we often talk at these meetings about future topics. Does anyone have any suggestions? I see Chris Edge's hand up. Chris.
Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to give a quick update. I didn't get a chance to do it earlier. Our mixed-use project by our train station, which is being done by Newport Realty Group based out of Southington, is well underway. Their first building is near completion. The good news is they should be breaking ground on building 2 and or buildings 3. This is an $18 million project. Apartments, retail, commercial. So the good news is that's moving along very well. And just to thank everybody for the support, because I know there was a lot of fingers in the pie. But the good news thing is they're moving along, investing, and right by the train station.
Thank you, Chris. Any suggestions for future agenda items for the next meeting?
Mr. Chair, I would suggest we go back and simply update a lot of things, but the federal infrastructure update would be worth a detailed briefing. As we heard today from Hartford Rail Line, we hope to have more briefing on the Boston Rail update. But those are a couple of items that would take some more work to give you more work, but those are a couple of specific suggestions for next time.
Okay, all right.
Does it make sense to have anybody from Massachusetts potentially to get on the line with us just to talk about how important we think it is? And again, I don't even know who that would be, but I know you've had discussions with them.
Yeah, we worked closely with them and they were invited to today's meeting, I believe, Tim, right?
We do have Dana Roscoe here.
Oh, Dana Roscoe's here. Where are we?
Yeah.
Sorry, Dana, did you want to make a comment on that? I didn't see your face, so I didn't know you were here. There we go.
So, I have
Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, sorry.
Dana Roscoe from Springfield. I sat in on your meeting today, and I think Lyle did a fabulous job of representing the situation in Massachusetts. And honestly, our governor has been the largest obstacle, and that was the reason for the work that Springfield and CR Cog committed AECOM to do is that basically the East-West study that the state of Massachusetts produced did not factor in any ridership from the Hartford area. And so it seemed clear that the governor was not supportive of East-West Rail. His position, as Lyle has updated you, has recently changed. It's also noteworthy that he will not be running for re-election. So the change in administration and the candidacy for lieutenant governor of State Senator Eric Lesser is also noteworthy, as Senator Lesser has been a huge advocate of East-West Rail. So, number one, having Chairman Neal, Chairman of the House Ways and Means, incredibly supportive. Number two, finally getting Governor Baker to concede that this is a worthy and worthwhile project. And number three, a new administration in Boston with the potential lieutenant governor candidate from Western Massachusetts.
If I could just underline something, because I am a huge fan of this project. There's nothing on the table that has a $60 to $80 billion impact on the 91 and Springfield-Boston corridor. In terms of economic bang, there's just nothing of that scope. And again, it will spread benefits far beyond just the Hartford-Springfield area, because then Worcester's connected to New York. Chris, you can get on a train to Boston from Maryland. I mean, the benefits are spread, but it's a $60 to $80 billion impact over 30 years. And there just really aren't a lot of things like that. So I think that's why I think it's important for folks to understand the importance of that. Again, thank you, Dana. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
Renata, did you have a question?
Yes. Well, going back to the comment about what could we be talking about. Now, I'm new to the group, and if I'm like out there in the left field, please just correct that. But I was wondering if we should have a list of priority projects for the region and perhaps review that list with regards to the infrastructure bill. And compare the two, because the way I look at these things is we're going to have like a lot of money coming up, and we should think about that money in a lieu of what are our priority projects as a region, so that we are prepared in 5-10 years in how we apply for these grants. So we're thinking more proactively rather than reactively. That's like planner in me. I don't know if this group does that. I don't know if this meeting is like actually what we're doing without actual list, and maybe that part I'm missing. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Chair, Renata's suggestion is an interesting one, and Tim, you may want to record this for future posterity and take it forward, but looking at the entire corridor of the stations and TOD is a good idea. That was done in Colorado around the Denver light rail line, for example, where they had a corridor level analysis of stations and station priorities. We have not done that here yet. So I think that'd be a future item for discussion. I think it's a very good idea to think about it. But the issue is always criteria, whether it's political criteria or economic benefit criteria. You know, the issue is you can have a list, but you know, who gets on the list and why are they there and which, what are the priorities? But I think that's a good item for future discussion. Maybe Tim can rough together something, but looking at a corridor level TOD, both for the Hartford Rail Line and the Bus Rapid Transit Line, and how we might use the incoming federal money to advance a broader view of what might make the most sense. But that's what we were looking at on the Hartford Springfield Boston line, which is a very big, you know, typically much bigger than we typically look at. But again, that's where you get some real benefits. You know, as I say, when you know, and I think that may be true for the corridor level approach, but there is a corridor level approach in TOD planning in other parts of the country, and we could perhaps look at some of those.
Okay, very good.
Yes,
Tim.
Oh, I was going to say, previously we had done station area reports.
Yes.
That I think Krog had put together yes. for this group. I think they focus mostly on things like zoning changes and things like that. But it could be something that we could resurrect and do station by station reports of TOD projects and stations.
Yep. I think that'd be an excellent idea. For those of you who don't recall, we had an entire corridor level of approved projects, zoning, and so forth. I think it would make sense for people to at least understand what's there, and then we could have a conversation. Perhaps we're not as comment as you know what should be there, but at least to sort of look at what's already underway. There's an awful lot going, and this is like several years ago. There was $600 million of TOD on the corridor. That's a long time ago, and there's a lot more now. There's billions. So it's, I think, a very good suggestion of looking at the entire corridor again.
Yeah, and if I may actually add to this, Nat Gale from the City of Hartford, I'm not sure if this is also what Renata was suggesting, but in addition to TOD, I would also think that city infrastructure projects, streetscape projects, I mean, what you mentioned going on in New Britain, I'm sure each of our cities has our own, you know, list of projects that's both on the development side and on the infrastructure side. Maybe it's a sewer upgrade, right? But, you know, things that are going to make it easier for development and you know, improve our city assets. I think having a quarter wide look, you know, and asking each city to submit their priorities, each city and town, you know, that then we can look at a regional approach for the funding that is going to come down.
Mr. Chair, I'd ask Rob and Kara to sort of look at that from at least a CROG regional perspective in terms of how that suggestion from Nat might be taken, and then maybe we can have a conversation on the entire corridor. That's a little beyond the scope of our, rail and bus rapid transit line, but it's a very important point, rationalization across an entire corridor. But I think those make sense as we begin to sort out the federal money opportunities and which things we apply for and why. So thanks, Matt.
Yes, very good suggestion, Renata, very good. Any other suggestions? All right, any other business or announcements? All right, so in summing it up, I would like to thank Lyle and Tim again for putting this together. We look forward, generally we have these quarterly. We appreciate the participation here, we really do. The exchange of ideas and projects and working together in a collaborative fashion is so critically important, and this committee has demonstrated, its members and its participants have certainly demonstrated that. So I thank you for being here today. Lyle and Tim, we'll stay in touch. Anything I can do to help move things forward, let me know. And I'd like to now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move, Chris Hedge.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second. We need to go.
It's a tough group, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, but it's a good group. It's a good, hardworking, committed group, and I appreciate that. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Motion to adjourn. Thank you very much. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Lyle.